Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, all is right with the world. Let's do this. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitzed. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. And if you want to watch us on the Twitch channel and comment there, you're welcome to do so. And it's Wednesday. We do things just a little bit differently. When you call, text, tweet, send a raven, smoke signals, whatever you do. Put odds on it. What are the odds? It's going to be a fun show, Hoffman.
Percent 1,000, right?
I feel really good about it, yeah. Actually,
yeah, I feel good.
Just little things like having my computer. That's
big.
That's a
big
plus
for the show.
Yeah, it was sitting right there in the cushion at home, just where I thought it was. So, yeah, that's what I get for not drinking the night before. I just forget things. I guess that happens when you get old. You just automatically start forgetting stuff. But that's done. Got all the problems with my bank account worked out. So I got my money back. So I'm in a good mood today.
Okay.
I'm ready to rock. It's the little
big win.
It's the little things in life, like actually bringing your computer to work.
Yeah.
They make all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
So where are we going today?
Well, I guess we start with sports.
Okay.
I don't know that there's not an overwhelming need to hammer the Texans today. I feel like we've got two more days still of Texans talk.
Of hammering.
But then I started thinking, well, if we're I guess we're going to be able to hammer the championship game on Monday. And I was like, what else matters? And then I thought, not that much. So if you want, we can just talk about the Texans today. I don't really want to talk about baseball cheating.
Yeah, I think we covered that pretty well yesterday.
That's the one thing when I was prepping today, I was like, any conversation about that sounds horrible.
Yeah, the only thing that I do want to get to is at some point is there's a USA Today column that I thought was just terrible about, the Red Sox scandal's not even close to the Astros. So I wanted to, I just did. I just ripped into them for it. Dumb, irresponsible journalism. You suck. East Coast, bite me.
And then I want to discuss kind of the, because I hear everyone complaining about the Rooney Rule, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it, and it made me wonder if, I mean, it's one of those things where, sure, it's not a great system. And sometimes it feels like you're just interviewing a guy to check a box. But isn't it better than it used to be, where guys just didn't get interviews?
Absolutely. And it's not always going to result in a guy getting hired. But now that you're in a position where you're hiring people, I think this will come up at some point. But when I was doing it, interviewing somebody that I might not have thought of initially, it had nothing to do with race, but just somebody coming in and like somebody else saying, hey, you need to interview this guy or this woman. I can't tell you how many times you'd interview somebody and say, holy bleep, where did this person come from?
Right.
And I think the rule is good from that perspective, because if a guy goes in, and let's face it, a lot of these, all these owners, except for Shad Khan, are all white, old white guys.
Yeah.
They're going to go to the same well because that's what they're used to. I think it's good for them to sit down and have a guy come in. And if not, you know, if you don't hire him yourself, this is another thing that I used to do a lot of. If I didn't hire somebody myself, my friends around the country were looking for somebody. We'd talk all the time about, yeah, I interviewed this guy. And
you give a good recommendation.
Yeah, and say, you know what? This guy really blew me away. It just turned out we couldn't afford him.
And the other thing to consider is jobs like this that are, there's not very many of them.
32.
Sometimes,
I'm not good at math. I'm, wait a minute. I'm going to be Lance Zierlein. I'm a numbers guy. 32.
Okay, 32. And there's only so many opportunities to interview. Like, those jobs are only going to open up so often. And what I think the great thing is about the Rooney Rule is, it gives one of these guys who maybe they didn't want to hire this guy. And I don't know if people aren't hiring. I mean, I'm sure there's some of these old rich white guys who aren't hiring a guy because they're black. But if they do have to, if it's mandated that they interview a black guy, at least these minority guys are getting interviews.
Yeah.
And, you know, and how often are you interviewing the first time and getting a job like that? That's when it's that prestigious of a job, you don't usually just walk in your first time, knock it out of the park. Oh, you're hired. I mean, sometimes it takes multiple times interviewing, and sometimes they ask, you don't know what to expect. And the more you interview, the better you're going to be at interviewing, obviously. So I think there's upsides to it.
I get the frustration. It's not perfect because there's a lot of people that just say, all right, we're bringing this guy in because he's black and we're going to interview him.
Like the Marvin Lewis thing felt absolutely like a Rooney Rule box check.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, if you brought in Eric Bieniemy, I feel like at least you're talking to a guy who's an up-and-comer.
But I think the reason why they felt fine using Marvin Lewis is because they never had any intent of hiring anyone other than Mike McCarthy.
Right.
So, like, once they weren't really on a coaching search. There's a reason they interviewed two guys. They interviewed the guy that they wanted, and they interviewed a guy that they had to interview so they could get the guy that they wanted. Normally, teams are interviewing 4, 5, 6 guys, sometimes more.
Right.
The Cowboys seem like they kind of knew which way they were going.
And that happens a lot, and I don't really have a problem with that. But, yeah, and I get the frustration, but I do think it's a good rule. And, yeah, the reality is you've also have to start developing more black coaches as coordinators because that's the next step. And I think we're seeing some of that. But that's another area that there's just not enough happening. And you know, there are good quality coaches out there that should be getting those opportunities. And you know, I think that's the first place you need to start. And I don't know that there's a Rooney Rule for that, for hiring your coordinators. But and see, that's where you get to the real problem, because most of the coaches are white. They're gonna hire their friends as coordinators. I don't wanna throw any names out there, guys who hire their friends, but say Bill O'Brien, and you know that's where you need to be giving people the opportunities. And if they suck, they suck.
Yeah,
you fire them and get somebody else. There's a lot of white offensive coordinators that suck.
Plenty.
So I think it's a good rule. I know it doesn't do enough for people, but I do think it's a step.
I mean, again, what I always say is, well, it's kind of better than the alternative.
Well, I agree. I agree 100%.
Because the way it was before, I mean, there were deserving guys not even getting talked to.
Yeah.
And that's got to be frustrating.
But what you hope is, through this process, that it develops into what it did with me and a lot of my sports editor friends, is that we recommend guys to people all the time, and they would get good jobs. And, you know, and we were very cognizant at the time as well, because, you know, when I first started in journalism, I mean, it was all white. And we didn't, and all white and all male, pretty much like America. And, you know, so, and when I got hired, we made a very concerted effort to increase hiring of females, increase hiring people of color, and we did a great job with it. And, you know, but it wasn't perfect. And you had to also create opportunities for people like that. And, I'll use Jerome as an example. I don't know if you want me telling on him, but he was at a job fair. And my old boss, Dan Cunningham, found him at a job fair because he'd been working for the airline for years. And just so happened that, wow, here's a talented guy. So he went out and hired him, and look at him now. I mean, he worked for the Boston Globe. He's a columnist at the Chronicle. And those opportunities didn't exist 20 years before that.
Yeah.
So, you know, and so it takes time and it takes steps. 713-780-7800. ESPN 713-780-3776. Somebody asked, what's wrong with Anthony Lynn? Nothing, except he's not a very good coach.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the other issue is, and this is where I think it eventually it gets kind of brutal, because a lot of the times, how many of these minorities have ended up coaching for an organization that we consider to be an upper echelon organization? It's rarely happened. So these guys,
Mike Tomlin's
the one.
I guess you could. It depends on what you consider the 49ers. Because Singletary got a shot there. Now, they weren't very good at the time.
Right.
But.
Yeah, that's probably fair. 49ers are a good organization. I think a respected organization.
Yeah.
But, more often than not, guys are, it's like, well, I want to get this head coaching job, but it's the Bengals or it's the Raiders or it's a job where the chance that you're actually going to succeed there, it's pretty slim. And, is that does it become a self-fulfilling prophecy that, these guys are taking jobs that are bad jobs and it's hard to win with bad organizations? And then, the good organizations, particularly the ones that are run by old, rich, stubborn white guys, like, man, I don't know. I've seen them. I've seen those black fellas, and they haven't done all that good. I mean, you know how these people are. Until this ancient power monster that runs the NFL dies off, there's going to be this.
But guess what? What happens when they die off? Their kids take over the team.
Oh, that's true.
And guess who they learned from?
Yeah.
You just don't see a lot of change that way. And but the reality is, and a guy like Marvin Lewis, you look at what he did. He took one of the bad jobs, had a lot of success there for a long time, just very limited at where they got. Does he deserve another chance?
I don't know. I mean, it seemed like they spun their wheels with him for a long time. But yeah, that's tough. It's a tough call for me. I wouldn't want Marvin Lewis as my coach, just because I feel like you kind of know what his ceiling is,
Yeah, but I mean, he did take a really awful organization to the playoffs several years in a row. So,
and then someone mentioned Lovie Smith, and Lovie Smith, I think we can agree, Lovie Smith got a. Did you say he got a fair shot in Chicago?
I think he did.
Had some good seasons. Went to a Super Bowl. Had some good seasons. Had some bad seasons. He got pretty quickly a second chance with Tampa, and it did not go well at all. And then he went to the college ranks where, guess what? It's not very good there either.
Hey, they made a bowl game this year and beat Wisconsin.
Yeah, they did. Yep. They made the Red Box Bowl.
Red Box is still a thing.
And they finished the season 6-7. So.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
They did have that win over Wisconsin.
I guess if that.
And he has a glorious beard now.
That's true. That's true. When you go into your fourth season with four conference wins, it's important that you get a big one like Wisconsin.
Yeah.
When you don't have many of them, you need the ones you get to be big.
Arkansas is like, hey, can I get one of those?
Oh, yeah, they'd take that.
Not Dead Zed says, I agree everyone deserves an opportunity. However, when ESPN shoves clearly unqualified all-female panel shows or broadcast teams in our face, it's just as bad. I don't think that's an unfair point. But, I think you can go too far trying to, put together a broadcast team that's different.
Yeah.
If you're good, you're good. And to me, ESPN should be trying to hire the best of the best, other than us because they can't afford us. But I think sometimes you do try to force shows a little bit. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Guys, there is a lot going on at Carbach. Monday, February 10th, 11 a.m. at the Sterling Country Club. Carbach is going to be running the fourth annual Carbach Classic, trying to find a cure for MS. All proceeds going to be donated to the National MS Society through Carbach Cycling Team. There'll be a complimentary concert, and you'll get to select a celebrity golfer to join your team, likes of Jeff Blum, Kevin Walter, other Texans players, Mark Clayton, and more. There will be a shotgun start at noon, scramble play, longest drive, closest to the pin, all that good stuff. Lunch and dinner provided by Backyard Grill. Purchase your tickets today at CarbachBrewing.com. Speaking of CarbachBrewing.com, while you're there, pick up tickets for the Rodeo Clown Roundup. They're kicking things off. Third annual Rodeo Clown Roundup. Blackberry Smoke, Corey Morrow, the Band of Heathens, and Clint Daniels going to be playing. Grab tickets at CarbachBrewing.com, and they'll have a 5K, 10K before the show as well. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Pick up your favorite Carbach beer today or ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Man, that Carbach thing sounds awesome. Go to a 10K and Blackberry Smoke. I've been getting into them a lot lately. That's a good band. All right. 713-780-3776 on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. And a couple things that I wanted to get to. Did you get a chance to watch any of the Jeopardy thing last night?
I didn't, and I'm actually kind of disappointed I didn't. I texted my wife today and said, I forgot to watch the damn Jeopardy. Can you make sure it records tonight?
Yeah, I'm recording tonight's. Ken Jennings wins by $200.
I saw that.
It was awesome.
That's what made me mad that I didn't watch it.
I kind of feel like that other guy is a little overmatched.
Oh, way overmatched.
And
you mean the guy who won zero?
Well, he was reading about it. I think, yeah, when he won it, you could only win like five in a row.
Yeah.
And he won some big tournament of champions. I was like, oh, you know, but it's not nearly what these guys did. So I'm not really surprised, but I think it's been, it was a lot of fun to watch. I've got tonight's recording. I don't know if I'll be home. Last night I got home in time to where I fast-forwarded through the commercials and it timed out perfectly.
Right.
And I could watch that in the UH game. But so tonight, I don't know if I'm going straight home because they're having Letter Kennedy trivia under the radar, and I may go there and do that because I freaking love that show.
All right.
So, but I don't know yet. Depends. I haven't heard back from the wife. I think she's mad at me for breathing. So, so that's pretty cool. I can't wait to watch that if I watch it late tonight or whatever. And the other thing I wanted to get into briefly, since we're kind of, we had a couple kind of media subjects. Did you see J.J. Watt going after Channel 13 for the headline on his girlfriend?
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, it is kind of legit that maybe you don't make it all about him. I get him, especially because, he's got to say, she's great all on her own.
That's right.
Even if she wasn't, he'd still have to say that. So why you would do that is an interesting move. I get that you want to mention him in it because then the tweet gets some attention. But how about mention her name as well? Maybe would have been the move, right?
Yeah, I have two thoughts on this. First off, I know what they're trying to do because guess what? I run a website. I know what we're trying to do with headlines. And they know that the average person who's clicking on their website has no idea who his fiance is.
Mm-hmm.
And they know who J.J. Watt is. So that's why they did it. But that doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. And believe me, we have these discussions all the time about if we do a headline that's a little misleading. Because you want to be able to get people interested without misleading them. Now, some people will just outright mislead you. They don't care. So at times, you'll wind up omitting something. So, I thought it was disrespectful on their part, but good for him for calling them out. I think that was, and more people should be called out for stuff like that, including us. But, in the grand scheme of things, I see what they were trying to do. I just don't necessarily approve. And, I think it's interesting to me that, because it is hard to say, I mean, I knew who she was before she was dating J.J. Watt because...
Oh, I sure didn't.
I listened to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis. So that's how I knew. But...
I mean, I'll be honest. How do you say her name?
Kelia Ojai.
Kelia Ojai. I, like, when I see her name, I know who it is, but right. I didn't know how to say her name. So...
I'm not sure I said it right.
Oh.
Because okay. I've seen it in print a lot.
So you might be full of it.
Well, I mean, I think that's right.
Okay. Yeah, I'm...
It's a little different.
Maybe
name.
I'm part of the problem, but I'm also not tweeting about it, and I'm also not like a news organization. So,
yeah, I mean, well, you are kind of a news organization.
Not really. My yeah. Twitter's like the farthest thing from a news organization.
Well, you're an entertainment organization,
I guess.
So, does that excuse you?
I don't know.
No, I think. Yeah, I got her name right.
Okay,
so there. But yeah, I don't blame them for doing that. I'm glad they got called out for it. So there. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. So I think that kind of gets to the other. Well, I wanted to do one thing on the Texans, and I don't want to get too deep into this because we do have two more days. But then whenever we say we have two more days, stuff starts coming up.
Right.
And maybe we don't spend as much time. But the more I look at this, and a lot of people say, well, they beat them last time. Can I just give you a few reasons why, a few things that are different this time around? Number one, Pat Mahomes is 100% healthy. He wasn't in that game. You could tell the two games where he struggled all year, and we talked about QBR and all that, his two bad QBR games were Indy and the Texans, which were the games where he was coming back from the injury. So you've got a 100% Patrick Mahomes. You got to think that's going to impact things.
Yeah.
The Texans don't have Tashaun Gibson, who covers tight ends really well. Guess what the Chiefs have? One of the best of them. And now you're going to have to find another way to try to slow him down. And you're not going to stop him, but you've got to be able to slow him down and make it reasonable, right? Well, guess what? That's something that's missing also. And defensively, I think the Chiefs are a lot better, although I do think Thornhill being out hurts, but they made some adjustments. They've gotten healthy. All those things are different from the first game. The one thing I put in the plus side from the Texans, I do think this is a better group of cornerbacks than they went in there with the first time, because you're not counting on Jonathan Joseph.
Yeah.
And, you know, while I don't think they've got the lockdown great guy, I do think at least with guys like Conley and Hargraves, they're at least in the vicinity of the receivers.
Right.
And Roby being healthy. So that I would put on the Texans side. But when you add them all up, I mean, that's why I think you can't just say, well, they were able to do it once. Because I just think it's a different situation. Does that sound fair?
Yeah.
All right. 713-780-ESPN. Texter asking if I found my laptop. Yes, it was just sitting right there in my damn chair at home. I just can't believe I forgot it. So, yeah. Oh, well. I am just going to leave it on sleep mode from now on so that if I have to search for it again, I'll know where it is.
Yeah.
It's probably the best thing. All right. I have to tell you about your Houston Rockets, who'll be in action tonight. And then they got a back-to-back on the road. But guess what? January 15th, Rockets versus Portland Trailblazers. Make it a guy's night out at Toyota Center, presented by Budweiser. How about this? You can purchase a ticket for as low as $29, and here's what you get. The choice of a beer or soda. Raise your hand if you're getting a beer. A large hot dog and a Rockets bottle opener. It's a great way to spend a night out in Houston. You can get your tickets at Rockets.com. And if you know, this is a good chance. Get out with the guys. Get away from the wives. And have fun. And go hit some places before the game, and then go to the game and get that beer or soda, get that hot dog, and get that Rockets bottle opener for tickets as low as $29. Oh, by the way, you get the tickets too. Guys Night Out, Houston Rockets versus Portland Trail Blazers on January 15th. Spend a fun night out in Houston at a Rockets game. Grab your tickets today at Rockets.com.
Answer. event.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, 713-780-ESPN. If you want to get in on the HRNP listener line, we'll take some calls on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. Justin on Twitter, whose Twitter handle is Striker for Life, and every time he tweets us, all I can think of is that scene in Airplane where he goes, Striker, 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 and then the guy punches the woman next to him.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, you can't do that joke anymore. I don't think you can. I don't think anybody can make that movie with that joke at
Probably
this point.
Probably not.
But he says, Chief defense doesn't scare me at all. Fuller dropped three easy TDs last time. Please tell me you're not counting on Will Fuller.
And also, that was a different Chiefs defense last
time. It was. And, you know, I think there's some things they can do against him. But first off, what is Will Fuller known for?
Dropping balls, didn't hurt.
Yeah, basically, yeah, soft tissue injuries, and when he does get on the field, dropping balls.
Yeah, so now we're like, oh, well, he dropped balls last time. Yeah, well, he always drops balls. That's what he does.
Yeah, so I do think there will be some, you know, there'll be some plays out there to be made for them, but there'll also be plays for the Chiefs, and I think the, you know, I do think that when I add up the differences between this game and the last game, and the reason I wanted to do that is because I just see more positives for the Chiefs than I do for the Texans.
Yeah.
Hockley Dan on Twitch asked, what are the odds the Texans get a couple more deep shots because Thornhill is out at safety? That's a possibility. I do think that's a sneaky loss for them because he's played really well for a rookie. And, you know, I do think you can, you know, that's your sort of last resort back there. And I don't know how he made All-Pro. I've always liked Tyrann Mathieu. I don't know how he made All-Pro this year, but he gambles a lot. He's a guy you can take advantage of. So there are some things that they can do against him. But in the end, I think there's more positives for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Although I just saw that Travis Kelce's limited in practice. I don't think that'll stop
him. That'd be helpful.
Yeah. It'd be nice if he was limited in the game because that's a, you know, that's a big mismatch there for the Texans without Gibson in the lineup.
Yep.
And I think Tariq Hill's healthy. I'm not sure he was 100%. He was coming off an injury the last time they played. So all of those things, I think, factor into it. But listen, I think it's got a chance to be an exciting game. And I hope we get a lot of Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson matchups over the next few years in the playoffs. And it'd be nice if the Texans would win one. I just think this is going to be a tough one.
Yeah.
But you know what? I've been wrong before. I'm wrong many times. That's how you get married 3.5 times. You're wrong about things. Sometimes they look great on the surface. You know, sometimes games don't play out on paper the way you think. And, you know, it's funny because final score-wise, I think last week's game played out the way you think. But game shape-wise,
right,
it really didn't. And, you know, that's the thing. I mean, it's the playoffs you want to, you know, and the thing is we have to see, do the Chiefs have another level? That's always the big question about all these teams in the playoffs is who can take it to another level.
Right.
Vikings took it to another level last week. I'm not sure about the
Patriots didn't.
No, Patriots did not. But I, you know, that, and that's a hard one to figure out because I don't know how much of that was, okay, the Titans, because that really just looked like what the Titans have been over the second half of the season.
Right.
You know, although a few more passing yards from Ryan Tannehill. But we've also, it's also kind of been what the Patriots have been. So I don't know what to make of them going into the Ravens game. But boy, if the Ravens have another gear, that's scary.
Yeah. Yeah. And they could.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And for people asking, no, I don't have any hockey picks tonight.
Oh, Fred.
There's only three games. I'll try to have something tomorrow, but I spent my whole day doing horse picks for Sam Houston and my little horse preview that's on the website. So yeah. We'll have the track announcer on Friday when we're out there. They're doing on January 26th, They have a really cool thing going on in that they have that Houston Ladies Classic, which is a turned into a really monster race every year, like races that champion fillies come in and run. So they're doing that, but they're doing a qualifier for the NTRA Handicapping Championship in Vegas. They're going to give away two spots. It's a $1,000 real money buy-in. So you're betting that $1,000, and you get back whatever you win. But they're going to send two people to Vegas. I'm hoping they're only sending one other person to Vegas because I'm going to play and see what I can do. I've been playing a lot of online tourneys. I haven't played any. It's very much like poker because it's so much different. Like if you go the first five races and you bageled and you don't have any money, then the horse doesn't matter. Now you're looking at odds. You're trying to get 20-1 home, get back on the leaderboard. So it's a very cool thing, and I'll probably do a little strategy thing on it for people who've never played one. But it's a fun thing. If you haven't ever done it, get out there, and you might win a chance to go to Vegas and win $1 million.
There you go.
So Kenny asked, what are you setting the over-under at for first quarter tweets saying you're wrong one way or the other?
Zero. I'm not tweeting in the first quarter.
Well, I'm not going to read the tweets. So you can tweet me all day during the game. I will tweet out my sports map column when it's over with all my thoughts that apparently aren't good enough being on sports map. They have to be on Twitter too. But I'm going to tweet that out and that's it. I'm not going to look at Twitter. So if you want to just tee off on me, go right ahead. I don't know why people expect that when they tweet you in the first quarter of a game that you're actually trying to cover, that you can stop and respond.
Yeah.
I mean, I try to be a jerk here, but it's like I'm actually working and trying to, first off, figure out what I'm going to write, which it often changes 10 times during the game as it did last week. I'm working with Cody and Jermaine on their stuff and getting photos for them and things like that. So I don't really have time to stop and respond to every tweet anyway.
Right.
So I don't see them till the end of the game. So if you're going to tweet at me early in the game, you might as well just wait till the end so that you don't look silly. 832 says, survived my first corporate layoff round today.
Hey, congratulations.
Not sure if you've had any interesting stories, but that was some stressful stuff. Yeah, that is one of the worst things to go through when you know layoffs are coming. And I tell you what, and nobody wants to hear this, it's been laid off. Being the person that has to pick who gets laid off, It sucks more than the actual layoff, believe me. Because I've had to do that.
You're fired.
Yeah, well, because it's like when you hire a coach who doesn't do very well. Well, in our case, we had a lot of people who were really good who I'd sold on our vision and brought them from other places. And suddenly I'm having to sit in a room and you're making a list.
Yeah, that's tough.
And it sucks, man, because they're all people you like. They're all people that, and especially when you start the first in, last in, first out stuff, it sucks. Getting laid off does suck. But just in all honesty, being the guy having to do it. I've never actually been laid off. I took the buyout to avoid having to lay people off. That's how much it affected me. So I can't speak to what it feels like, but having gone through it twice, I think we went through two rounds, and where you're sitting in a room with your immediate supervisors making a list of all your employees and why this person has to go. I mean, it's no fun. And I hate it, and I guarantee the people that have to do it hate it too. Although, what we used to do, and it drove me nuts, is how, because it was a newspaper, you'd have to write a story about it, put it on the business front, and you call it restructuring.
Yeah. That's the appropriate term.
And you'd send out this thing saying, if I had been laid off, I don't care about the long-term viability of the company. It's like, we believe this will make us a stronger and better company. Yeah, by getting rid of some of your most talented people, good luck with that.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that the Texans didn't have Stills last time either.
True. But, I mean, if you've got Fuller, you can't talk about what Fuller would have done differently if you're going to have Stills. I mean, there's only so many wide receivers you're going to have on the field.
Yeah. And 832 says, and the Chiefs' defense didn't get better. They played lesser talent.
No, I disagree with that completely.
Yeah.
Completely.
So, 281 says, I thought you were retiring from horse picks. I'm pretty much retired from doing the Triple Crown picks. And I wasn't going to do them this year.
I don't believe you.
And then, I'm not going to get into the whole story, but suddenly I found out that I'm doing them. And, you know, so I'm going to do them for one more year. And I'll probably do the Triple Crown for one more year. Because, see, and here's what happens. Every year I forget how much I hate doing it when we get into April and May and I'm having to do quarter horses and all this stuff. Because January, I'm all excited. I can't wait for the meet. You know, I'm looking at the races. I'm like, oh boy, I'm going to bet on this and this and this. And so I'm all fired up. And I guarantee you, and you can mark the tape on this, sometime in April, I am not doing this next year. I've had enough. You know, I'd take too much grief. But I do feel like, if anything, I'm really consistent when it comes to that. I'm excited in January. I'm miserable in April. Not really miserable. It's always the card, and this is probably too much inside, but they have a big futurity there every year. So there's a Saturday card where there's like 22 races, and it's all two-year-olds that have never raced, and having to handicap those things, that's when I kind of start losing my mind. What are the odds Fred will ever forget his laptop again? Not going to happen.
Never?
Never.
I don't buy that. Mistakes happen. I think we've both had shows before where we forgot our laptop or didn't have them for one reason or the other.
Yeah, I think you left yours at home one time.
Certainly have.
But I think now, it's like, when I make a mistake like that, I tend to double check everything again. So I'd be surprised if I do. I'll go less than 2% chance that it happens again. So.
All right. How about you save some money so you can buy a secondary laptop? So you can buy a third laptop. Wherever you go, you'll just have a laptop just for that place, so you'll never have to leave again. In fact, you might even not have to lose it in your car because you might have a helicopter instead if you save enough money with TGS insurance. Guys, TGS used to take – it used to be a pain. They know that. It used to be a pain to get a home insurance quote, and TGS was like, we got to figure something out to make this easier on guys. And sure enough, they came up with this great system – that takes 15 seconds, and you don't have to deal with an insurance agent. That's the best part about it. All you do is send a text. Grab your phone, text the word money to 232323. They'll ask for your address. You reply back with that. You'll get a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company and these savings are legit. The online rating is nearly perfect, and the average customer last year saved $870, and you don't have to wait for your renewal. They'll take care of all the back end, all the hassle. They do it all. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote in 15 seconds or less. Start saving today. Now my daddy told me it ain't Christ-like. I was screaming at the referee just like Mike. Looking for a bright light. Seagull, what your life like? Riding on a white. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Happy What Are the Odds Wednesday. A couple things from Twitter. Dustin says, I've been laid off and I've been that person having to make the list and deliver the news. It was worse having to be the one to deliver the news. Didn't sleep for days. Yeah, I agree. That just sucks. There's no way around it, having to tell somebody, especially when you don't want to. If it were up to you,
right,
you wouldn't do it at all, and it certainly wouldn't be that person. And then Lamont says Seth went through like the last six or seven Chiefs games from a defensive standpoint. It's not really like they became super good if you really get in depth in those games, and they played besides just looking at raw score. I don't look at just raw score. I look at yards per play. I look at total yardage per game. I mean, there's the last game where they basically got run all over was when they lost to the Titans. And having a healthy Chris Jones in there, and they made some adjustments too, and kind of scheme-wise to slow down the running game. Because early on in the season, if you could run the ball at all,
you were beating the Chiefs.
Yeah. Or at least you were going to be able to play with it.
Competitive, yeah. The last four games, the opponents averaged less than 85 rushing yards per game against the Chiefs. So,
and it's not like, you know, well, I mean, the Patriots, I guess we've decided they're donkeys, but they went in and beat a Bears team that was playing its best football at that time. It's not, you know, not like those guys were garbage. I mean, they weren't a good team this year, but they were playing pretty well at that point. You know, they held the Broncos to three, the same Broncos that came in here and bent the Texans over. And the Chargers game really didn't mean much the last one, so you could draw a line through that. So, but yeah, I mean, the Raiders were no threat when they played them. There's no question. But
yeah, honestly, with the exception of that Titans game, the second half of the season, they were a different team defensively. Aaron Jones had some success when the Packers beat him running the ball individually. The team didn't really. But other than, like, they held Dalvin Cook down, you know, the Titans were really the one team that blew him up after about week six.
Yeah.
So things changed. And really, they probably changed, oddly enough, they changed in a loss. Or after a loss, the Colts beat them. It was 19-13, and the Colts just ball controlled them the entire game. They ran, I don't even, close to 200 yards. I know because Marlon Mack was on my fantasy team. But then it was basically after that, it was a different conversation on if you were gonna beat the Chiefs. I mean, it wasn't, you know, and I Carlos Hyde had a good day against them as well, but. That was it. That two-game losing streak, Colts-Texans, that snapped them out of it. And they started to look different. Then they had the Titans game, which, again, maybe an exception, but of the last 8-9 games, there's one where their defense didn't show up.
Yeah, and I'll just throw one more.
And it's not like they were playing great offenses early in the season, besides the Ravens.
Yeah, pretty much. And
whom they beat.
Yeah, and they're – and I'm – although I'll say that game, when you talk about, and some of the improvement in the Chiefs defense, I think also came from the fact that Steve Spagnuolo had to figure those guys out. It was his first year as DC. Yep. He's a damn good DC, and guys can get better, and you can improve in your play calling and your scheming, and I think that happened. But the Ravens that lost there, that was before Marcus Peters. That was before they made some other moves to strengthen their defense. So it's the same thing. You can't use that game as a gauge very much either, because, you know, they'll do a better job defensively than they did the last time. So, you know, not that it's going to just, you know, not that I'm saying it's going to be Ravens Chiefs and you can go ahead and book it now. But Vegas says that. Vegas thinks it's going to be that. I mean, they're both 9.5-point favorites. I think it'll be really interesting. Plus, there's the one factor with the Texans that always scares you, or at least always scares me. There's a chance that they just come out and lay a turd. And if they play three quarters like they did against the Bills, they got no shot in this game.
Right.
And I don't think that's going to happen, because they tend to bounce back with pretty good efforts. But, you know, last week was one of those games where bad Texans showed up for a long time and they managed to pull it out. So I think this is a different Chiefs team. It's just really, I'm hearing a lot of very simplistic, oh, well, they already beat them there once.
Right.
And I think you have to look at it in a totally different, you know, you have to look at it as a completely different game. So 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. That doesn't mean they can't go in there and win. I don't like their chances. But
I'm with you. It would be a huge win, obviously, but it's not like it would be something that I never would have thought could happen, but I have a hard time picturing it.
Well, when I look at I always look at scenarios. How do I think a game's going to play out? For the Texans to win, Deshaun Watson's got to play at least three quarters like he did the fourth quarter.
Right.
And they're going to have to figure out a way to get a turnover or two from the Chiefs. And that's... you know, you've got to somehow limit Travis Kelce. And they're just, and what we always talk about, their defense struggles against tight ends generally, even though they've been better this year, but they were better because of Gibson, who's not there.
Running backs out of the backfield.
And guess,
mobile quarterbacks.
Guess what the Chiefs have?
Yeah.
Check off all the boxes. Doesn't mean you can't beat them. But last week, the reason I thought they had a chance to win, the Bills really only had one of those things. Now, they took advantage of it. But he ran for 92 yards, most of it on one play. But that if you only have one weapon like that, then you can be competitive defensively. But the Chiefs have a lot, man. And Although Andy Reid does have a choke factor too.
Sure.
There is that. And
but at least he's accomplished enough of a coach to have a reputation.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill O'Brien doesn't have a playoff reputation. I mean, he's a guy.
And this is where you make your reputation. You go in and win games like this. And we'll see if he does. But
on the same hand, this is a chance for – and well, maybe not this game. Winning this game doesn't do anything for Andy Reid's reputation as a playoff coach.
No.
He would have to win the next week, too.
He needs to win a Super Bowl.
Well, or at least
– I think at this point.
Get to another one. I don't know.
Well, I mean, he's had teams – Andy Reid is kind of like the Peyton Manning of coaches. Because you look at teams he's had year in and year out, and you think, man, that team's good enough to get to the Super Bowl, and it never does.
Yeah.
And he's done it one time, and Peyton Manning had done it one time until he went back with the Broncos. So, and there is that factor that Andy Reid, do you trust him in the playoffs? I don't. But, you know, what has Bill O'Brien shown me?
Right.
That's the thing. 713-780-ESPN. A lot of people asking, would you take Texans plus 9.5? I don't know. Like I said, I see scenarios where they could cover 9.5. And I see one or two scenarios where they could actually win the football game. But again, that's how I try to look at it when I handicap it. I go and put the scenarios together and put all the numbers together and then come up with the most likely outcome. And I'm not going to give up 9.5 points with the Chiefs. But I just don't know if I can play the Texans either. I may be looking at the total here.
That's probably where I'm looking to.
So of the four playoff games, which team has the best chance of pulling the upset?
I think it's the Vikings.
That's what I was going to say. I'll take the Vikings. Although, I mean, the Seahawks aren't really a big enough dog.
The Seahawks-Packers game to me is like there's not – if either team wins, I guess by definition it would be an upset. But – I feel like those two teams are about even. They're a couple fraud teams. I think the Vikings could beat the 49ers.
I do, too. I think that's the one I would choose.
The AFC seems unlikely. It seems unlikely that one of the lower-seeded teams is going to win in the AFC. These are not
These
are not good teams.
I kind of feel like this is the week things get straightened out in the AFC.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean the Texans and Titans are they're so teams, and we've been talking about it's going to take what it's going to take to beat the Ravens or the Chiefs. And I look at these teams in the playoffs, and I just don't know if they've got it. I don't know if they got the juice.
Nick says, I feel like those two horrible losses Houston had is swaying your opinions on the game. Houston's the best five of the playoff teams this year. They've proven they can play with these teams. Yes, they do color it, but some of the other performances where they won.
Losses?
Well, the Broncos and the Ravens loss.
The Ravens loss that should color a lot. That's a team that's still in the playoffs.
Yeah, but there's also, listen, if you're excited about, look, last week's game was fun, but if you're excited about the way the Texans played there, if they play that same game, they have no chance. They can't go out and suck for three quarters offensively like that.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
So it's not just those two. It's that performance.
I got news for you. 22 points?
That's not getting it done. No. They're capable of playing. Yeah, they go and play like they did against the Chiefs the first time, like they did against the Patriots. Sure, they have a shot. But when you look at the landscape of the whole season, like they play like they did against the Raiders, they're not going to win.
No.
They play like they did against the Jaguars the first time. They're not going to win.
It's a chance for them to play up against their competition, which they have done a couple times this year. They've also rolled over and died when faced with good competition, too, in that Ravens game. So
yeah, that Ravens game is hard to ignore. And I know it was the whole, coming back from London, every team's like 0-8. But it's not just that you lost. It's just that you weren't even competitive.
If they play as well as they did the first game against the Chiefs, they've got a chance.
Yeah.
The way to beat the Raven or to beat the Chiefs, and I talked about this with Lance in the Sports Map video. I don't know if it's out yet, but it will be. The question was, is it easier for the Texans to win this game if it's an under game or an over game? And Lance said an under game because it's less possession. The numbers say to beat the Chiefs, you need to make it an over game.
Yeah.
Because the Chiefs are going to get their points anyway. So you have to keep up with them because the Chiefs aren't going to score 10 points. You know, so if the total's 41, and you know that the Chiefs are scoring 24, you better hope that that total goes over.
I think if you're the Texans, 38 is the...
That's how many the Texans need to win?
I think you're going to need to be...
a big number.
I know. I think you're going to need to be there to be able to have a chance. That doesn't mean you're going to win the football game.
Yeah.
But I think that's the number. All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. These little things define you forever, forever. Oh, it's bad luck here.
Won't you let it dry? Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate,